Hour number two of our radio program. That is right. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Gelb Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. Hot take Kiki. Quick question for you before we get into a little overreaction or proper reaction. Also, Amon Green going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. I see that this Brownie the Elf, which is now going to be the logo at midfield for the Browns, has caused quite the reaction. We have not talked about this yet. This was open to a fan vote, and this is now what they're going to put on their field is the Elf, Brownie the Elf. Do you have any problem with this? Because I see a lot of people on Twitter, unless if you live in Cleveland, are like freaking out. Oh, this is so stupid. This is so dumb. Personally, I don't care. The fans voted on it, so let them have Brownie the Elf at midfield.
People are upset. This is sick. I love the logo. I love how it's at midfield. The other was a brown helmet.
You know the Elf kind of looks like?
Who the Elf kind of looks like? No.
Andrew Siciliano.
I thought it was Voldemort.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well,
That's right.
For the joke, you got to lift it.
That's true. I temporarily lift the ban of his name on this show.
He's a big Browns fan, so maybe.
The reason why I say that, why his name popped into my cabeza, and maybe I should then put a tweet out side by side, him and Brownie the Elf, since he once called me clickbait because I once asked him a question if he believes if Scott Hansen goes to the bathroom or not during red zone, and he took a lot of offense to that, and then he just freaked out on me. You're clickbait. You're just trying to use me for clicks. Maybe then I'll use you for clicks here and put you side by side with Brownie the Elf because you look like him. But during the break, I guess he was on NFL Network today, and they're playing this clip, and he's just screaming. He's like, I'm going to speak for all Browns fans. If you don't like Brownie the Elf, we don't care. And he speaks in like this weird cadence too, where it's just like so super cheesy TV guy, and Ian Rappaport goes, why are you yelling? But when I saw Siciliano and they show them the photo of Brownie the Elf, I go, they could be like long lost cousins or something like that.
How good are you at Photoshop? Maybe put his face on Brownie the Elf picture. Congrats you can tag him. Congrats on the new logo. Looks great.
Yeah. I don't want to bug Cap because Cap is away on paternity leave, which congratulations to Cap. His girlfriend gave birth to a healthy baby girl. So congratulations to Cap. And I did speak to Cap the other day to congratulate him. But Cap, who does all like the graphics here for the entire company, not just for CBS Sports Radio, I think for like all of Odyssey. If we did send him that, he would definitely be on board. But I'm not going to bug him right now. And what's been a very busy week for Cap. So.
I wonder if he would DM you.
I think if I slacked him while his girlfriend was giving birth in the hospital, he would respond to my Slack messages.
Oh, no. So I meant Voldemort.
Oh.
Like, I wonder if he would DM you and be like, hey, you. Probably,
I don't know.
I wonder what his reaction would be.
I don't follow him, so my DMs aren't open. Since he's DM'd me before, he followed me to the, and then I followed him back, and then he started to say, you're clickbait. So I don't know if that means my DMs with him are permanently open because we've had a DM history before that he initiated.
Do you think he's blocked you?
No, I don't think so. He made it abundantly clear he doesn't care about anything that I say.
Got it.
But he
unfollowed you after that, I'm assuming.
Yes, he followed me, and then I followed him back.
Slide in.
And then
smart.
The moment afterwards where he started to chew me out, then he unfollowed me. So that's the way that it did work with our pal that we're not going to name her on this show anymore.
But that will not be named.
He does look like, though, Brownie the Elf, I think.
Which I don't know why people are freaking out about the Elf. That's
he does not block me.
Okay.
I am not blocked by him. So
he'll see it at least.
Oh, his DMs are open, though. Imagine if I just DM'd him. Long time no speak. You and Brownie the Elf kind of look alike.
Congrats on the Browns making the logo
making
after
you. The
you.
Logo.
You look great at midfield. You going to be in costume game one?
You got NFL music? Hit it. I need NFL music. Give me the music. All right, Hickey. Let's transition. Overreaction or proper reaction? You've identified a few storylines around the NFL. You'll get my thoughts on those right now. Let's go.
Overreaction or proper reaction, Zach? The Cowboys season is over.
Proper reaction. The fat lady singing. La! Damn. Where was that voice coming from? Good singing voice.
That was
voice
pretty
right
good.
There.
No cracking.
Some random lady just came in the studio and started saying, la! Yeah, the Cowboys season's over. It's done. Line stinks. We don't know when Dak's going to come back. Jerry Jones needs to step aside and just focus on making the Cowboys money, not actually making personnel decisions. And even in a weak NFC, I don't look at them as a team now that's going to be able to survive Cooper Rush starting a bunch of games for you. So it's a proper reaction saying their season's over.
Overreaction or proper reaction, the Packers, without Davante Adams, are in big trouble.
Overreaction. Conference is not great. Vikings showed you a lot. I'll still pick the Packers to win the NFC. I do have the Vikings making the playoffs, like I've said all offseason long. I got to think Rodgers is going to find a way to figure it out. Remember last year, everyone freaked out after they got blown out by the Saints. I know he doesn't have Adams anymore. They still won 13 games for the third season in a row. Packers will have double-digit wins. They'll win the North. They'll be fine.
One of the biggest upsets on Sunday, the Bears taking down the 49ers. Overreaction or proper reaction, Zach? The Bears are better than we thought.
If that game was played in the sun, no rain. What's so funny there?
I have literally never heard anyone reference that. If the Bears played in the sun, they were on the surface of the sun.
A Bears game is a real dark place.
No rain in sight.
The Bears are all doom and gloom. But if it was just sunny and there was no rain,
they were in the sun.
Did the Bears win that game?
No.
Exactly. So I think it's more of a reaction on the 49ers than, oh, let's hype up the Bears and tell you that the Bears are better than what we think. The Bears are still going to be picking in the top five of the draft. So if you think the Bears are better than what I thought heading into the year, overreaction.
Speaking of that game, Trey Lance, not the best, we'll say, starting debut, did throw a pick in that loss. Overreaction or proper reaction, there should be concern with Trey Lance.
How much concern?
Get Jimmy G warming up concern.
I think that's an overreaction, but if Trey Lance can't beat the Seahawks this week, then next week it may be a proper reaction. But for now, I will go overreaction.
One of the teams that looked the best on Sunday, the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 39, 360 yards, 5 touchdowns, amazing, all without Tyreek Hill. Proper reaction or overreaction, Zach? The Chiefs will breeze by this season without the Cheetah.
I'm still going to go overreaction with the way that you just worded it. They'll breeze by. I still think they're going to be a double-digit win team. I've said that all season long. But I don't think anyone breezes by in this AFC West. Are maybe the Chiefs still the favorite? That could be a proper reaction. I think it's really the Chiefs and the Chargers, the two best teams in that division. We'll see those teams meet up tomorrow night. But breezing by, it's going to be tough for anyone to breeze by this year in the AFC with how loaded that conference is.
Mitch Trubisky has led the Steelers to a 1-0 record so far. I was going to say onsides or offsides.
That's on Mondays and Fridays.
Overreaction or proper reaction? Steelers are a playoff team.
Overreaction. One game, defense really good. We knew that going in. TJ Watt looks like he's not going to be lost for the season now, which is enormous. But I don't think Trubisky's going to be starting all the games this year. Eventually, they're going to have to bench him for Kenny Pickett. Najee Harris, he's going to play this week, but dealing with the foot injury. I'm not ready to say that the Steelers are going to be in the playoffs and a top seven team in the AFC just quite yet.
Geno Smith played really well. Well, at least for a half on Monday night. The Seahawks did beat the Broncos. Geno Smith, Zach,
you wrote me off and I didn't write back.
Whatever. Do you know what that means, by the way?
Here's how I interpret it. People wrote me off. People said negative things about me and I didn't listen. That's the way that I interpreted that.
I guess. Doesn't really make much sense, but
right.
You're probably right. That interpretation makes sense, but it's like
I've never heard it the way that he worded it.
They wrote me off, but I didn't write back.
I didn't write back. People said I was done. I was finished. They sent me notes that I was donezo, and I said bleep you. That was his Super Bowl.
That was his Super Bowl. That was Pete Carroll's Super Bowl. But now moving forward, because it's just one game out of 17. Geno Smith making the Seahawks more competitive than we think. Is that a proper reaction or overreaction?
Overreaction. And I know that Jamal Adams is not as great as he thinks he is, but that's a bad injury. So they lose a player there on the defensive side of the ball that was one of their better defensive players. I'm not trusting. I like DK Metcalf. I like Tyler Lockett. Kenneth Walker, let's see what he could do when he gets on the field. He was my favorite running back in this draft class. But when Geno Smith's your starting quarterback, I just don't think that's sustainable heading into, going throughout the entire season. So I think that's an overreaction.
One of the biggest margins of defeat was the Bills over the Rams. They just blew the doors off
wild.
Of L.A.
That was supposed to be such a close game.
Right?
Game.
Matthew Stafford, 3 picks, did not look very good whatsoever.
He looked like Detroit Matthew Stafford.
Oh, that he did. Is it an overreaction, Zach, to say that the Rams will have a big drop-off this season?
Overreaction. I'm not telling you they're going to go repeat as Super Bowl champions, but they're still a top three team in the NFC. Top two, I would even say. Still.
Saquon Barkley declared he was back, had over 190 total yards Sunday's victory over the Titans, including the game-winning two-point conversion. Overreaction or proper reaction? Saquon Barkley is back.
Overreaction. I think Saquon Barkley, here's a hot take, had a heck of a Sunday. The question, though, with Saquon Barkley is, can you stay healthy? So I'm not ready to declare him back until I see him get through this entire season healthy, or at least can we get halfway through this season healthy before we start to declare that he's back. But when he is healthy, we know the guy could be a force on the field, just ask Tennessee.
And finally, Zach, Carson Wentz, 2 fourth-quarter touchdown passes as the Commanders came back to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 1. Overreaction or proper reaction? Carson Wentz can be trusted to turn the Commanders around.
You know you're on the Zach Gelb show, right?
Yes, I'm aware of my surroundings.
And you just asked me, do I think Carson Wentz can be trusted?
Carson Clutch Wentz.
Trusted to throw picks in a big spot or turn over the football in a big spot? Is that what you're asking
me?
Or
throw touchdowns in a big spot like he did on Sunday.
I love how we just all gloss over the fact that he almost gave that game away.
2 picks.
Yeah, horrible
two bad
picks.
Both were very bad.
That looked like Stafford last year up against, was it the Colts? Now, who did Stafford throw that under?
Oh, the Titans.
The Titans, yeah, that was terrible. Yeah, I can't trust. That's an overreaction. That's the easiest question I think you've ever asked me. Now, they'll probably win this week up against the Lions.
2-0 Carson.
Their schedule is not that tough. But am I trusting Carson Wentz long-term, though? I've seen this story too many times. Let me just read you the schedule here. At the Lions, Eagles, at the Cowboys, Tennessee, at the Bears, Green Bay, at the Colts, Minnesota, at Philly, at the Texans, Falcons, at the Giants, bye week, Giants, 49ers, Browns, Cowboys. That's not a tough schedule.
I mean,
you should be able to make the playoffs with that schedule. If you're a competent quarterback.
2 guaranteed losses out of that, maybe? Packers and, I don't know, maybe the Browns if Deshaun Watson comes back. Hell, there's not many games where you go into the game, definitive loss. There's some that they
Eagles
probably
are a
won't
good
win.
Team. I think the Eagles are better, but they could split up against the Eagles.
Right.
I think Minnesota's
easily.
Better, but if you tell me the Commanders have an upset, it wouldn't stun me.
I think there's one or two games where there's no chance.
That is a cupcake soft schedule.
It's there for the taking.
Oh, you got Volt.
But, last year,
do I have to envision a world of Carson Wentz in the playoffs?
No. No, you don't.
Well, can I have you imagine something?
Sure.
Your team on the outside looking in, the Colts, Wentz in the playoffs with the Commanders. How ill would you be?
That's probably I didn't even envision that. That is the worst case scenario.
Ugh. And imagine the Jason Wright
worst case.
Ron Rivera victory tour if they make the playoffs this year with Carson Wentz.
No one's going to be allowed to ask questions.
You know what? I would bet the over wild card weekend on his interceptions. That's what I would bet. Eesh. If Wentz is in the playoffs on wild card weekend. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Who's going to be the next head coach in Nebraska? And also, should we be concerned about the Packers, a man that played for both? Amon Green going to join us next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a former Green Bay Packer, also played his college ball at Nebraska, and that's Amon Green, kind enough to join us for a few moments. Amon, how you been?
I'm good, Zach, man. How you been doing?
Well, I've been fantastic. Can't complain. Packers-Vikings, what we just saw, Vikings dominate the Packers. Is there a reason to be concerned, or is it just week one and the Packers will figure it out?
No, it's just week one. Packers going to figure it out. It's a long season now. We got an extra game, 16 games to go instead of 15 now. But, yeah, it's game one. I mean, but for the panic button, for the fans, for us, the media, yeah, we could talk about, oh, my God, what happened, what's going on. But it's basically, you know, I say my opinion to it all is the preseason. You know, I think teams are still adjusting to that less game of having four. You know, you used to have four games, so you had that time then to, you know, first game, your offense, your starters play a series. Second game, they play the first half. And then third game, they play the first half plus half of the third quarter. And then the fourth game, were all any players that were on the bubble, you know, that were questionable or were young players that needed to get more time to find out if they're going to be part of the roster, you know, offensively, defensively, or special teams. So now that third game, you know, I think some teams are having it. And it looks like, for me, just seeing outside looking in, looking like the Green Bay Packers has that little trouble because I know Aaron does not play a whole lot of preseason, if not none at all. And so I think that's still something that has to happen. He has to play. I know he's, you know, going into his 19th year now, but it's something I think for importance, getting those real-time reps with your players that you're going to be playing with for the season is vital, and especially coming into a rivalry game, a new team in terms of coaching staff for the Vikings came in there, you know, firing on cylinders. Everything looked great on their end. So it's going to be an interesting season for the NFC North right now. And got another game coming heavy with the Chicago Bears coming into Lambeau this week. So, yeah, it's going to be more just it's that first game, and we got more games to come.
With no Davante Adams there anymore, and now he has to build new relationships. I know some guys return, but you got some new players on this roster. Yep. How long does it take to build that chemistry?
It takes as long as they catch the ball. that's it. If and when a ball is thrown your way as a receiver and your quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, just catch the ball. As soon as you catch the ball, the more catches you get from that point on, he's going to gain confidence in you. And then obviously you're going to gain confidence in yourself to be able to do what you need to do. And that I saw on film and watching the game live when Christian Watson, the second-round pick out of North Dakota State, dropped that pass, that touchdown pass, the whole sideline just kind of went the other way. Momentum was going one way. They were excited about the season. And then, boom, dropped that pass. It's like, oh, my God, like, what happened? And for me, I watched the whole sideline, and everybody's head dropped to the ground, and it's like, oh, man, this is going to be a tough game. And sure enough, it turned out to be like that, a tough game for four quarters. Minnesota looked like what the Packers usually look like, running the ball, moving the ball. Kirk Cousins only gets sacked one time. Aaron gets sacked four times and lost a guy in terms of JRJ, John Runyon Jr., potentially with a concussion. So that right there just showed where everything was at. You know, that's your leader, and you got a young buck that's trying to prove himself, and he had that opportunity and missed it. But the great thing is there's going to be other opportunities down the road because you got a long football season and we're just getting this thing started.
I'm on Green here with us. Ever since Matt LaFleur got there, I know we've seen Rodgers win back-to-back MVPs, but they've placed an emphasis on running the football more. When you go into a 17-0 hole, it's tough to run the football. You got to throw the football more than you would like. How many carries, ideally, would you like to see Jones and Dillon both get on any given Sunday?
I say on any given Sunday, I'll say if things are ideal, any given Sunday where the team is in the game, they're going to win most likely, where they get about between 10 and 15 carries per player because that's 30 carries total. And I remember during my time, I was getting that by myself, but I know how that wore on the off or wore on the defensive line, wore on the linebackers when they knew it doesn't matter first quarter, second quarter, then third and fourth quarter, I was still coming downhill with myself and Will Henderson, and everybody's getting their blocks. Marco Rivera, Mark Tauscher, Mike Flanagan, Mike Wall, Kevin Berry, those guys are coming off the ball in run, stepping downhill mixed in with the play action pass out to Javon Walker or Robert Ferguson or Donald Driver. So when you had that in the defensive mind that, oh man, these guys are running and pass, that creates a problem. And defense has to be honest. They can't fill the box with 8 or 9, maybe 10 guys. They have to have they can't have a light DB or defensive backfield, because they do, then the one-on-one matches will get won. And that's where you can help these receivers by doing that, because now Devontae's gone, so the attention is going to come, and it's going to be a little easier to stop these guys because they don't have the experience that Devontae had to get off routes, to get off press coverage, things like that, and read the zone and trying to find the soft spot, try to find the window to get open. So right now these guys are basically learning and playing at the same time, which is tough to do in the NFL or major league or any major sport. But sometimes you got to do it, and that's where the better player and that's going to come out of it. And I think right now one player that has an advantage because he played very well as a young player during preseason for the Green Bay Packers is Romeo Doubs out of Nevada. So I like him. But Christian Watson is there. He just got to shake that one mistake done. You got a whole bunch. You got a whole long season to make other mistakes to get better, babe, pretty much.
Here's what I also wonder, and you may understand the mental side of this. When you're a rookie, you know what it's like. You don't understand the business there. You're so excited to play. You feel as if each and every play will define your career. How do you try to keep a level head when you're younger, when you have to overcome some of that adversity?
I say, just ask questions. Ask questions to your coach and just realize that you're human and you're going to make mistakes. And let that nervousness, anxiety, put that behind you so it can push you forward. Because you don't want it to, that fear of making a mistake stop you, because it's going to stop you being the player that basically got noticed by that team to get you in the locker room to draft you. So don't let it get in front of you. Put it behind you. Put it as motivation. You know what? I'm going to use it to get better. I'm going to watch film. I'm going to find a veteran, or a veteran might find me that could take me under his wing and help me through my first couple years. And then once you get past year one, in any position, once you get past year one, then it kind of, that nervousness, the anxiety kind of lessens. Then now you go out there and start becoming that player that you was at the college level and at the high school level.
I'm on Green here with us. We know what type of football player Aaron Jones is. A.J. Dillon, now you're number 3 in the NFL. How do you view him as a running back?
I like his development. I mean, he's done a good job. LaFleur has done a good job of introducing him to different plays, different formations. This game was, like I said, what we both said, it was more forced to the pass, but he was catching balls out of the backfield, talking about A.J. Dillon. And so that right there shows to me that he's developing. He's learning that as a running back, even though he's a big guy and can be given the ball and just, I'm going to just be the mindset type runner that I'm just worrying about getting the ball handed to me and I'm just going to run downhill. But, I can run this screenplay. I can run these routes. Coach can split me out in the slot or even on the outside wide. Wide receiver spot and run something with me. Because I prove I can catch the ball and obviously, make big plays downfield because of his size. And so I like that development. We have a good conversation. I have his phone number. So every now and then we chime in, we talk to each other and I chime in and I just tell him, hey, with that size, use it to your advantage. Keep it as one of your first go-tos, but always think what I can do better, what I could do different to make that defender think more. Because he's always going to be worried about trying to tackle number 28. Because of how big he is, but give him something different every now and then when you decide to go engage with the guy trying to tackle you.
I'm on Green here with us. So Vikings beat the Packers 23-7 in week one. How do you view the Vikings this year? Because that was one heck of a performance, and I think bringing in a new coach that's more offensive-oriented is going to help out that football team.
Oh, man, yeah, they're looking great right now. And the question was, I do a few podcasts. I do one called On My Block with Mike Wall, one of my former teammates. And we had the question in that podcast, talking about what is Kevin O'Donnell and that coaching staff going to bring to that team? What Za'Darius is going to bring to that, Za'Darius Smith going to bring to that team? And we saw right away O'Donnell being part of the McVay tree of coaching has come in and brought that creativity, new formations that look like run formations, but they're actually pass formations, and it works both ways for that offense. So then, like I said earlier, the Packers creating a problem for defense. That's what Minnesota created, a problem for the Packers defense. With that play action, double tight end set, having Justin Jefferson running wide open, because those formations was telling you run all day. So run personnel is in, big linebackers that can't keep up with certain players, with certain receivers, or even tight ends. But then also on the flip side, there's not enough defensive backs in the backfield to cover the ground that we know Justin Jefferson can cover, and that's why some of them routes came wide open. So that's just something that O'Donnell and any of the coach that was McVay, they have just took, which also part of Shanahan too, they take simple formations and they craft them and they build them and move guys in certain areas like a chess game. Then I'll say, okay, now we're going to do this. See if you can stop it and stop it. And that's what happened with the Packers defense. But the good thing is we got them again here. They'll be in Lambeau here. I think it's in December or something like that. So it'll be definitely time for them to get better at, you know, what they need to do to stop them come later in the season.
Do you think that the Packers still win this division, or do you now have a little bit more respect for Minnesota?
No, I definitely got 100% more. I mean, I've always had respect for any team that competes in the NFL, college level, whatever, Major League Baseball sports that I watch. There's always respect because these guys are pros. Guys and girls are pros. But I still got my money riding on the Green Bay Packers winning the division because they still, other than one integral piece being Davante Adams, he's out in the West Coast now with his good friend and teammate David Carr, but you still got these young guys that's going to develop. They're going to get better. They got to get better if they want this team. Because I know 100% that the main goal is win the NFC North first, win the NFC second, and then get to the Super Bowl and get a victory. So I believe that's going to still be the case here for the Green Bay Packers.
You still think Rodgers can win a Super Bowl? Because the last few years they've had some good teams back to back to back 13 win seasons, and in the postseason they've just come up short.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way the ball bounces. We don't, you know, it happens to every player. Sometimes players, you could say it's a curse or it's a thing that happens to them. But he still has a team around him that with the pieces, and he learns to get those pieces the ball. You know, he could throw to multiple receivers, which is something that when he's on point, he can do. He could do that. Then that's going to be the reason they get down to the Super Bowl this year because. You hit multiple receivers, a defense can't just get used to you going to one guy. And he kind of had that with Devontae. So this is going to be a time for him to grow during this season now to figure out, okay, now I got these young guys. I got to spread the ball around to everybody because, obviously, one, I don't want nobody to adjust to me real fast and know I'm going to just go to Alan Lazard the host game when I need him, when I got Allen, when I got Christian, I got Romeo, I got Tonyan back, when I got four receivers and then A.J. and Jones and Dylan out of the backfield, then I got six receivers I could go to, so now try to stop me now. And so then that creates a bigger problem for defenses.
Wrapping up with Amon Green, getting to your alma mater, I know one of your college teammates just got fired in Scott Frost as the head football coach. How'd you react to that?
Man, I was just a little sad, shaking my head because I'm just, you know, just like him, wanting our program to get back where we once were when we were there. And we know it's a process. We know it takes time. We know it takes years recruiting, getting the right coaches in town, in the building, and then getting the right culture built. And somewhere along the line, since Scott got on campus, the culture did not go the way that he wanted or any other coaches, or unfortunately, too, for the players. None of that went the way anybody planned because they were, you know, the idea was come in there and get the team competitive enough to now compete for a Big Ten championship and then on to the national title. So with that not happening, you know, for me, just like I said, I was in the backfield with Scott and we shared good times and bad times in our first year and going through that process of learning how to run together, the option together as a quarterback and a running back would do. So we were having conversations back and forth and working together to get better. And so we did. And then first year was tough. We had those two losses against Arizona State and then Texas in the Big 12 championship. And then, but then the next year, that all those basically those two losses and the way we needed to get better, we adjusted and got ready for the 97 season and won a national title. It's just unfortunate, you know, for him and that coaching staff that we didn't get a chance to. They didn't get a chance to do that. Bring that same that same winning culture. A guy and then the guy who takes over Mickey Joseph, somebody I know very well as well because he's a former Nebraska quarterback, but way before my time. But somebody I was very aware of. So hopefully, him and the rest of the guys that's still on staff can. And bring the season to a respectable and formidable year for Nebraska football.
Yeah, it just came down to, unfortunately for Scott, the last 4 or 5 years, they lost way too many close games. And when you continue to be on the wrong side of that, then you're going to be out of a job. Assuming they do bring in someone else, just what advice would you give to whoever does become the new head football coach next year?
My advice to whoever becomes the next Nebraska Cornhusker football coach is, you know, make sure you start with the players and make sure you find the players that understand that it's a process, that at the bottom of the process is basically grinding out. You're going to get your butt kicked. You got to practice. You got to play games. You're going to make mistakes. But it's all about getting better in the long run. and it's going to be a road. It's not going to be a short road. It's going to be a long road. So, unfortunately, for the seniors and the juniors, you know, the sophomores and freshmen, those guys may not see that. They might not see the success. So it's the incoming, it's the new recruits. You know, it might take that long again to rebuild what we had, because for Coach Osborne, he was in the helm for almost 30 years pretty much. And he took all that time to then get his three national titles in the last 4 years of him coaching, you know, college football. So it took time. So this for the next coach, have patience, make sure your players get your buy-in, and then make sure the coaching staff gets also that buy-in, because then everybody needs to trust each other and work together.
There's been a lot of names thrown out, Matt Campbell, Mark Stoops. Is there one that resonates with you so far?
No, I still got to get to know them. I've seen them coaching, but for me, I'm just like, I don't know who it is. I don't mind Mickey, you know, even though he's the interim, I'm like, he's a guy that's been there before and has been around the block. He's been at, you know, colleges at like LSU. So sometimes hiring in-house is not a bad idea.
I'm on Green. Always appreciate the time. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, Zach. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I want to talk about the two most overrated coaches in college football right now. That's the man that coaches in College Station, in Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, and then also the man that coaches in Happy Valley, in James Franklin. I'll add a third one to this list, but I have a suggestion for Jimbo Fisher, and I have a suggestion for James Franklin. Ryan, we talked about this earlier in the week, the two most overrated coaches in college football. And you said it was Jimbo. I said it was James. If I had to give you a third one, is Chip Kelly now in the overrated conversation? Chip was unbelievable at Oregon. But at UCLA, people thought, even after the disaster of Philadelphia and the disaster for that one season in San Francisco, that Chip, and a Pac-12 that has been open, right? Utah's been good. Oregon's been good. USC now maybe on the way back with Lincoln Riley. But at UCLA, sure, Chip had a nice season last year with Dorian Thompson-Robinson going 8-4. We have not seen UCLA ever get to a standard since Chip got there in 2018 where it's like, okay, wow, this is the old Chip Kelly. Is Chip now an overrated coach, or did that ship just already sail where you go, yeah, he's not overrated. We properly rate Chip Kelly now.
I think it's the latter. I think it's properly ranked in part because I don't think people are really still kind of clamoring over Chip Kelly and his offensive genius. Like you said, towards the tail end of Philly, and especially in San Francisco, his offense got exposed. Everyone's running it now, and he's been unable to
got exposed
adjust.
In Philadelphia. He didn't adjust.
Yeah.
I would sit there. The first year, he had 10 wins in Philadelphia. And the second year, got off to a blazing hot start. But you would watch the red zone play calling. You knew the plays that were coming. I could call them from my couch. It was crazy. So it's one of those situations where, yeah, you're probably right. Where Chip is now, it's properly rated. And you could, even Oregon, right? They had a head coach opening. I don't know about you. I thought Oregon was going to go bring back Chip Kelly.
I don't think so. I think it's in part because of the way he is viewed now, which I think is proper, where it's used to be offensive genius, didn't adjust, has no new wrinkles, and it kind of just is like a, you know, an old dog. You can't really teach him new tricks.
Well, it's telling how he's viewed now.
Yes.
How he did not get that job again because he was a god on that campus.
He was.
Their schedule, they could have a big game. Now, I know they just played Bowling Green and Alabama State. They won 45-17 and 45-7. They play South Alabama this weekend. After that, they have Colorado and Washington. Back-to-back stretch for the Chipster at UCLA. Utah on October 8th, and then Oregon on October 22nd. So you have a full week off, and then you get an extra week before that Oregon game. That could be a fun little storyline. Yeah, I don't think it's in shockwaves through college football, but if they could get through these next 3 weeks against South Alabama, Colorado, and Washington, Washington with the new head football coach and Kalen DeBoer, that Utah game could turn out to be a little bit interesting for the Chipster. Maybe a little Undertaker gift moment for the Chipster.
I hope so, because in part, that'll mean actually fans will be in the stands, hopefully, by that point. I know it's been hot in L.A., but I mean...
Look at you.
Have you seen the pictures from the Rose Bowl the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been pretty empty.
It is, like, depressingly bad.
I forget. Yeah, I guess it was that they had it on TV. There was no one there.
Like picture
I thought
inception.
The announcers were green screened. I go, there got to be more fans than that.
No one. And they announced like 27,000, which is like, I think, a Rose Bowl low. I mean, I could have counted 500 people.
If you're security, don't you have to just cram everybody in? If you're the athletic director, don't you have to say, everyone, get behind the sideline, just so we at least get a decent TV shot?
And you would think.
They even have enough people there.
Weren't you? Oh, it was the U.S. Open. I was going to say, weren't you somewhere recently where they were very strict on seating?
Oh, yeah, U.S. Open for those Carlos Alcaraz
no matter
matches
what.
That went to 3 in the morning.
2:45. Hey, get back to your seat. Half the people left. Get back up there.
There was, me and my buddy went, there was no one to the right of us, no one to the left of us. I moved over one seat. The security guard told me to get back to the next seat.
Hey, you.
I went from 4 to 3. They go, get back to 4. That's how strict the security was.
We got a runner. We got a runner. Oh,
we got a large jackass sitting in the seats. We got to go get him. Get this guy out of here. It was wild that U.S.
You,
Open.
Maroon. Yeah. Get back. I see you.
I was wearing a black t-shirt. I think I was actually wearing this collared shirt that I'm wearing right now. I was wearing, a black collared shirt to the U.S. Open. All righty. Getting back to Jimbo and James Franklin. I heard Jimbo said he'd be open to potentially giving up the play calling duties. Shouldn't that happen for this weekend? You just lost to App State. I know that Appalachian State has now become this big deal in college football where College Game Day is going there this weekend for the matchup up against Troy. And App State, it was a heck of a game. They put up like 40 points in that fourth quarter up against UNC. So they've been a good story, but App State, I know they're always good for an upset here and there. They should not be beating Texas A&M when Jimbo Fisher is 4 or 5 years into his tenure at A&M. I know Haynes King is not this great quarterback, and eventually you got to make the move to the youngster on that roster. But geez, for Jimbo, don't you just have to, even if you don't think you need to give up the play calling duties, don't you just give up the play calling duties at this point to try to spark something offensively for your football team that was only able to put up 14 points against Appalachian State?
That or make a quarterback change.
Like, I got a Wigman. I would.
Something has to change.
He just had a quarterback throw for 97 yards.
This
is not, and that wasn't just in one quarter. That was the entire game. This is not 1932. Some guys cough and they throw a 97 yards, you know, on two drives. It's crazy.
Especially in college football.
Yeah.
And Sam Houston State, kind of more of the same, like a little bit more
31-0. It wasn't, that should be a 58-0 game.
Still, right. Not a lot of offense so far.
And also, your guy James Franklin has to go to Drew Aller. There is no upside anymore to Clifford. Is this the last spot for Clifford? Auburn, he had a big moment against them last year in the whiteout. Now it's going to be the orange out in a packed house, Auburn Tigers, home stadium crowd, where you're going to probably get the crap beat out of you because you're going in there in your Penn State jersey. You're wearing the blue or the white jersey this weekend?
No jersey. It's going to be hot. Polo. Dry fit game day polo.
Oh, you're scared. You're hoping that little logo doesn't get noticed by everyone.
I hope it does. Oh, I'm proud. I'm not going to be shy, but also it's going to be hot, and I want to kind of dress like they do in the South. They dress up for the games. I'm going to win in Rome wearing a polo.
Your line of thinking. Man, I don't get your line of thinking. Wear the jersey. Wear a jersey.
It's going to be 87 and sunny. That, the jersey I have is very hot. Number one. Number two, game day polo, man. Win in Rome.
Game day polo.
I never wear polos to games. But now I figure, you know, I'm going to do it.
Come on. When I go to the big Temple UMass game in a few weeks.
That's Temple UMass. Give me a
break. I'm wearing my Joe Klecko Temple jersey.
That's a fresh look.
It's great.
It's only
great
in a few weeks. It'll probably be like 60 degrees. Going to a sauna.
It's in 2 weeks, the game.
Yeah, in Philly.
Okay.
Going down to the middle of Alabama. Southern Alabama.
You leave tomorrow for that?
Yes, sir.
I did read an article today. What's the name of the Onward State? Am I saying that correctly?
That's one publication, yes.
Yeah, it was
student-run publication.
Yeah, it was that application. they pointed out that Drew Aller has better Heisman odds than Sean Clifford.
Really?
Yeah.
For this year?
Mm-hmm. Guy's not even playing.
Holy smokes.
Or barely playing. If you're James Franklin, this is not going to be a year where you're really going to win anything. If Sean Clifford loses to Auburn, and what's the spread of that? Are you a favorite of that game?
3-point favorite.
On the road up against Brian Harsin.
Auburn stinks. Now I say that watching Penn State's going to lose. Auburn has not looked
good. Give me Auburn plus the points.
They have not looked good at all.
Auburn State, FanDuel gives Drew Aller better Heisman odds than Sean Clifford. If he's Clifford loses this game, you got to go to Aller. You should go to Aller anyway.
I would agree.
I'd put Aller in this game, honestly. Start him.
Same. He's not going to start before November. I'll tell you that right now.
So weak.
I agree.
You got to get him ready for next year when he's going to be the starter.
Totally agree.
Instead of Perry Ellis, I mean...
back for his seventh
Clifford
year.
Playing at Penn State.
Finding another year of eligibility somewhere.
Okay, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Come on back after these short messages. News brief next.